From live at the piano room that is the Claudettes. Friends of the show, I'm just a huge, huge fan. They were among the amazing collection of artists that graced us at our community concert this past September at Riversgate Metro Park there in the heart of Dayton. And it's just my pleasure to welcome, calling us from Chicago, Illinois, but they're on their way this weekend. They're at the Emporium here in Yellow Springs on Friday night and at a very special Halloween soiree at Spinoza's at the Fairfield Mall in Beaver Creek on Saturday. It's a pleasure to welcome Johnny Iguana. Johnny, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, I've already got a correction. You called me. I didn't call you. And, yeah, I'm just old-fashioned enough to have a landline, as you requested. I don't have to go to the Pizza Hut or something like that because, or the phone booth, because I not only insist on the security of a landline, but also the sound quality.
Well, hear, hear. And I ask for it all the time. People are like, some people don't even know the term landline.
Oh, I know. I remember when I lived in an apartment in Chicago, my next-door neighbor was a girl who was about 21, and she knew of vinyl records, but she had never actually, like, held one. She knew that they existed. That was, you know, before there was kind of somewhat of a vinyl boom, but, you know, this was in the 90s.
She had heard tell.
Nadir, I think, at that point.
I know.
Swept up with the compact disc.
You know, what's so interesting is that we have these wonderful studios here, which I know you've seen, and when we moved, this would have been in 2011. My goodness, they only made room for a single turntable here. So if we had had two put into this studio, we could go back to back vinyl. But that nobody, I don't think anybody fully understood the hipness that vinyl would climb to eventually. But nonetheless, we make it work. Speaking of vinyl and recordings, your latest is a collection of tracks that you recorded at Live in the Piano Room. I'll remind our listeners again that you're live at the Emporium here in Yellow Springs this Friday and live at Spinoza's this Saturday for a holiday celebration. Tell me about the Piano Room. I don't even know where that is.
It's in my house. when I got a house after living many years in an apartment, I reminded my somewhat befuddled mother that she had told me when I was a teenager, I think, that whenever I got my first house, she was going to buy me a piano.
Aww.
So I went and found one, and she made good on it. And it's a 1913 Chickering that I bought from someone who had a collection of pianos, and they were trying to elevate from, like, apartment to condo or something, and they needed to save money. And so they sold me their piano at a good price, and
wow,
it's a really beautiful piano. I've recorded a lot on it for Claudettes and other groups. It's in a smallish room, and it just resonates, and it's got so much low end. It's just like a luxurious sound. And actually, the drummer at the time had the idea that we should, you know, we do so many kind of in-your-face, like, intense performances and recordings that we really like stripping it down to very, very quiet and minimal at times. And we had a time where we were playing in Connecticut and at a little festival that was indoors, and it was at like a field house, like in a park, and the field house had old electricity, and we blew it, and there was no electricity, and like a third of the way through our set, and they actually had an acoustic piano on the ground there on the floor off the stage, and I just went over to it, and we did the rest of the set kind of around the piano, and it was actually like really well received, and everyone thought it was a great, more than a great recovery, it was actually kind of special. So he said, why don't we, like, you know, document that sort of side of us, since there's not that many really, like, high firepower groups that can break it down quite like that for a whole show. And, you know, so we decided to set up and have some people film it and record it, where we just did six songs or so, I think it was, in my piano room with just a couple of mics, and it was really fun. We just, you know, kind of put like a towel on the drum and just barely hit the drums, and Zach switched kind of from electric to acoustic and just sang right there in the room, and it sounded so good that Yellow Dog, who put out our first couple of records, wanted to put out just the audio from it as like an online-only EP kind of in between physical releases, and so that went up not long ago. I think it's really charming and fun to listen to, and it was really fun. And each song has a video, too, for it, so, like, on the Yellow Dog Records website, there's, like, a Bandcamp page, and you can hear the track or download the track, and there's an associated video with each song, too.
You should definitely check that out. It is, I have to say, I was particularly sort of smitten by your mashup of Us and Them and Dock of the Bay.
Yeah.
How did that come around? It's perfect.
Yeah, I love discoveries like that, which is, in this case, it arose from Eddie Clearwater is a great Chicago blues man. And Eddie had me play with him at Space, a really nice venue in Chicagoland. And one of the songs he was going to do was, he was doing kind of a medley, and I had to learn Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. I'd never learned it before. And so I learned it and played it. And then I was driving sometime very soon after that, and I heard Pink Floyd's Us and Them. And it struck me moments into the song that both songs have a bass line that goes boom, 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 different tempos, but the same bass line. And Dock of the Bay starts with a seaside effect, and Pink Floyd starts with a wind effect. And I was saying, man, and you think about it, they were both kind of like late 60s, mid to late 60s, and I'm thinking Pink Floyd definitely, either consciously or subconsciously, had that on their mind when they did that. It's the same bass line. It starts off with like a noise effect, and then I started kind of doing that bass line, but I did those beautiful, you know, keyboard chords from the Pink Floyd song. Mm. And not only is it like, I do kind of a fake out where I start with with the Otis Redding, and then we just do the whole Pink Floyd song. But then at the end, over those chords, I have her singing the whistled part, you know, at the end of Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. And it works so beautifully over those, like, really haunting chord changes. So it kind of came about that way.
This is an argument for not always staring at a cell phone so that you can have things occur to you. YellowDogRecords.com for more information on this release. Johnny, is it theclaudettes.com for?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Claudettes.
All our show dates and more stuff.
And again, they're in town this Friday at the Emporium here in Yellow Springs. Part of the wine tasting gets underway at 7 o'clock. And then at Spinoza's at the Fairfield Mall there, which is like one of the coolest spots you ever will find in a mall.
I was just going to ask you if you'd been there. You know,
we played a
very weird show at the Blue Note. I won't go too much into
here
that.
Here in town, there's several Blue Notes. You're talking about our Blue Note?
In Dayton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
It was just, I don't know, it just wasn't quite a match, it seems like.
Right on.
And there was a woman there that fell in love with the band, though, and she told me she really wanted to see us play at Spinoza's, and she knew Glenn over there. And,
yeah.
And we kind of talked back and forth until they asked us to play the Halloween show, which I think is going to be great fun. But yeah, I know they have mostly jazz in there, or I think they do.
Well, it's actually really tasty stuff. I mean, I think the first time... is it Eastern Bloc that your original drummer used to play in? They came through there. That's how I sort of got hip to them. Yeah. So it's a very interesting sort of a waypoint for traveling bands. Yeah. A nice cross-section. Hey, I want to play my favorite song of yours, not to be indulgent of myself, but...
And one of your daughter's favorite.
It is. And we're huge fans. And this song...
She can play.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I saw a video.
And she plays the uke. She's in school for piano, but her strong point is really singing and strumming. But but we're just huge fans of yours and just really look forward to every time you guys swing through the region. But both of us were smitten with this song, Tidepool. And when I first was introduced to you, you were not just all instrumental, but it was just you and a drummer. Just a two-piece band. Tell me about how that... started just briefly, and then maybe listen to the song, which is just you and a drummer, and then I'd like to come back and talk about how the band evolved into what it is now with the fabulous and lovely Barrett. But tell me about how you decided that it was a thing that you could just be a piano player with a drummer.
Well, the real truth that I don't really discuss much is one of my motives for starting the Claudettes was I decided, hey, you know what, if Paul Simon or Neil Young or Elvis Costello like need a piano player for a tour, I want to be on that list because I've played in a lot of blues and roots groups, but also punk and rock groups, and I'm pretty diverse in what I know how to do that way. And as long as it's not like a straight up jazz gig, like I did get asked to play piano with Richard Cheese, if you know who that is.
No,
and
but
he does like kind of lounge lizard versions of like Nirvana and, you know, 90s like rock.
Oh, Richard Cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a novelty thing, but it's also serious for what it is. And I was asked to do that gig, but you have to be a real like cocktail jazz piano player. And I'm really not a qualified jazz piano player. It's not modesty. It's like I always say I speak Spanish and that's Portuguese, you know, it's just a different language, a very different language.
Yeah.
But so, But I would like to do a recording where I'm not just a keyboard player for someone else. I want to do one where the piano's front and center, and if it gets some attention, maybe somewhere along the way, someone's going to go, that guy can play. I want that guy for my tour, for my record. So it's kind of a little bit of a self-elevating maneuver. So I decided that I wanted to kind of model it after the 60s Otis Spann, S.B. Leary recordings they did that are just piano and drums, but try to make a whole album out of it where it's compelling all the way through. And I knew I wasn't going to be like Oscar Peterson and be like a virtuoso. It's not really what I do. I'm more of a writer, a composer, and I kind of consider myself kind of a ham-fisted piano player compared to the greats, you know. But so I wanted to do one where it was about the compositions and about like striking piano pieces done on the piano with just drums. But I do have so many influences, you know, classical and blues and punk and all the stuff I grew up with, that it kind of spread out in many musical directions, but I wanted to keep it as just piano and drums. I'm not going to mess around with synths and organs and claves and stuff. I wanted to kind of limit myself for the challenge of it, just acoustic piano and the simplicity of it. You can get so many tonal colors out of just piano, so that's enough. So that's how we started, and we did one record that way, and then we did another one with Yana doing, like, you know, she did French vocals, and we thought that was a kind of a cool match, and so she mostly sang in French. And then, now we kind of kept evolving, and the people I've been playing with about a year and a half now, we do, you know, I've been writing for them and English vocals, and we also have bass and guitar, but it's still, you know, pretty piano heavy group.
Well, I just remember the first time all of these sounds hit my ear. It was in the fall of 2013 that I first heard the Claudettes' Infernal Piano Plot Hatched, and also marveled that you have punctuation in the title, which I always appreciate. And then the fourth song in was this Tide Pool that just to this day, there's no situation that I'm too gloomy that if I put this on, I'm not buoyed up.
I'm really glad to hear that you prize punctuation in the title. The new album that's coming out next year is called, in the spring, it's called Dance Scandal at the Gymnasium, which is named after one of our songs. And I agonized over that, and I landed on it has to be all caps with exactly two exclamation points at the end. You know, it's almost like we know that there are X-rated movies and triple X movies, but what is double X?
They don't say.
Kind of skip over that. And in the same way, you usually see one exclamation point or three, but two is pretty rare to see. But I liked it. That's how I liked how it looked. It looked kind of hyperbolic with three. I thought, come on now, that's too much. You know, one doesn't quite express it, so two is where it's at.
Let's not go overboard. Well, I can't wait for that. Let's hear a little bit of Tide Pool. Is there anything you'd like to say by way of introduction, or so we just hit it?
No, but it's funny that when I first played this for Michael Caskey, the drummer at the time, he wasn't nuts about it. He was like, I don't know about that one. And he had never really said that, but I think I'd written. But then soon after, in addition to being my mother's favorite Claudette song, Dan Aykroyd picked it for his, he was doing the Blues Breakers of the Week or whatever they're called. And he picked it and like wrote a nice preview of it. And that was like, you know, on his radio show. So,
goodness.
See, it is. I told you that was a good one.
Told you. Ha ha. Yeah. Well, let's have it. We'll be back with the great Johnny Iguana there in town this Friday at the Emporium, this Saturday at Spinoza's at the Fairfield Mall. We'll find out all those deets and so much more. You stay right where you are. This is the Claudettes on Why So. The Claudettes from Infernal Piano Plot Hatched. Tune called Tide Pool on 91.3 WYSO. The Claudettes are this Friday here in Yellow Springs at the Emporium for their at least third time around. Johnny Iguana of the Claudettes, is this your third time or more?
Third time at Emporium?
Yeah.
Oh, much more. I would say definitely we've played there at least five times.
Right on.
Kurt and everybody are such, just like the kind of people you just almost, it's almost like you need to meet and hang with these people as you travel around playing music, because I'm so glad you introduced me to them. I remember you did that after, I'm trying to remember, I think maybe we'd played Canal Street Tavern.
And I think
I was asking you about a different place in town, and you said, you should try the Emporium. And Kurt's made it clear that they don't really import bands. It's mostly local talent, of which there's a lot.
Yeah.
So he kind of only has us in because he really likes the group, and we all are gotten really chummy, and you know, so it's really like a gig like no other. We have to play we're a little loud for the room, and I'm aware of that, and it's hard to not get a little excited and play a little louder because we just have fun playing. And,
right.
And you're supposed to play at like jazz club volume, but it's just like the best collection of people in there. I think it'll be especially fun this weekend, just with everybody in the, you know, start kickoff of the holiday season spirit. You know?
Yeah, no doubt. So the gig this Friday, 7 until 10 o'clock at the Emporium here in Yellow Springs. And then talk about your holiday spirit, a very special sort of Halloween performance at Spinoza's. That is in Beaver Creek there in the Fairfield Mall, which you don't think of like unique, very individual sort of warm venues necessarily being in a mall, but this is truly an exception, what they have going on there. So, but Johnny Iguana of the Claudettes, what will make this a Halloween experience on Saturday night? That's what I want to know.
I'm sure something will frighten me at some point during the day, whether it's like a check engine light on the van or whatever it is.
check engine. Whoa.
Yeah. It would be funny if they like, if the car makers were able to like, to tie the indicator lights with certain seasons, have like, you know, like a snowy, like a December, like snowy and peppermint stick, like check engine light, and, you know, like a turkey and giblets, you know, check engine light from Thanksgiving, you know, like Independence Day flag waving, check engine light, you know.
Such a all holiday experience, yeah.
I'm not going to say I'm bratty. Like this woman sent me an email a few weeks ago when we were playing outside somewhere else in Illinois. We were playing, and this woman said, "Hey, we're coming to that event you're playing, and it's my husband's 40th birthday. And will you guys? Like, I'm going to pay you guys $40 if you'll play Happy Birthday. And this is going to show you how principled I am." I just said, "I'm happy to say it into the microphone, but I do not play the song Happy Birthday upon request. I carefully never learned it. I don't know how to play it, and it's not because I'm like inferior. It's because I've gone out of my way not to learn how to play that. I would fumble my way through it. I just feel like I'm not like a wind up monkey or something. Like I'm not gonna play Happy. That would make me feel like I'm not where I want to be in life if I have to actually. And I know that's very bratty. In the same way, it's been a very long time since I've gotten dressed up. I think maybe one time Barrett maybe put on like maybe a little like cat whiskers with a pencil or something like that on her face, like the most just totally half-assed, like Halloween.
Like, okay, yeah, here's my costume.
I liked the spirit, and I liked Halloween when I was a kid and everything, but and I want everyone to have fun, but I don't foresee us like being like, you know, like the, I don't know, dressing up like knights or, you know, whatever, the dark knights or whoever. I think we're just going to be ourselves, and we're already spooky. So.
Clearly. Claudette's Friday at the Emporium, Saturday at Spinoza's. And so speaking of Barrett, who lightly penciled cat whiskers just to try to get in the spirit. Again, I'll mention that when I first came upon you and was just blown away, it was just piano and drums. And then how did it evolve then? Of course, Yana was through at least a couple times, I remember. And you made a record and just fabulous vocals. And then Barrett now. So, but how did you, Johnny Iguana, piano 88-pounder behind this musical vehicle, decide that lyrics would be something that you wanted to include?
Well, I mean, I've had a lot of bands since I was 15, and I've always written lyrics. It just like I wanted to do instrumental for a while with this group, and then once it evolved, and actually Yana was, as you might remember, she did probably even more dancing than she did singing in the course of our set, but she liked singing those yay yay 60s songs, but I kind of got back into the writing then, and then started writing a lot, and then when Yana and I parted ways, I had this kind of album full of songs I'd written just when I met Barrett here in Chicago, and I kept writing, and the best thing to do is to write for a particular human being once you're involved with them in a
right,
because you just, you know, you find out what their sweet spot is, their range is, and how what they do well and what they don't, because even the people that we hold up as geniuses have things they do well and things they actually don't. They just stay away from the things they don't, you know.
Here, man, that's my life in a nutshell.
Yeah, so it's been really a great pleasure over the last year to really write for her, and then it's just such a magical, happy. I've posted about it even online that when I write something for like Barrett to sing, and then I get like cheery, and I send her a demo of me warbling in my falsetto into just singing her range. And then I get a text from her being like, I love the new song. I'm really excited to sing it with, like, you know, three exclamation points. I get really giddy. It's almost like I got an answer to like a love note I put in someone's locker or something. It's like, they like it.
They like me.
And then to come to practice and work out the drum and bass or guitar parts with the piano and then hear it and then say, okay, we got the rhythm section down now and I want you to come in and sing it. And she comes and sings it and just the song just arrives. It's just, you know, from, you know, Nikki, that like when the birth of a new song is more, to me, it's always much more invigorating than any great show or any great recording or anything. Like that arrival of a new song that you just made that is really working and has an emotional impact is just really special.
It reminds us that things actually can be right in the universe, no doubt.
Yeah, oh yeah, I depend on it. It's almost dangerous how much I depend on it. I'd be like so lost. I'd be like lost in space without it, you know.
We're talking to Johnny Iguana. You can look up johnnyiguana.com. We're going to get to the tune we talked about earlier, this wonderful, unexpectedly perfect mashup of Us and Them and Dock of the Bay. But I also just want to just quickly do a little bragging on you. You've been on recordings with people that have been nominated for Grammys. Junior Wells, tell us a little bit about how you connected with him, and then we're going to go to the tune, and I'll let you go about your day.
Well, my trophy case has three near successes. I was on Junior's Live at Buddy Guy's Legends, which is Grammy nominated, and also I've been lucky enough to be in two groups called Chicago Blues, A Living History, and also the Muddy Waters 100 Band, and they both were nominated over the last 10 years, maybe even the last 5 years, got nominations. And actually, most recently, I was asked to play on what kind of comes off as like an answer record to the Stones' most recent record, which is a Chicago Blues record.
Oh.
This is an album called Chicago Plays the Stones. It's all Chicago Blues artists playing Stones songs as if they were like Chess record songs.
Oh,
so,
cool.
And it's got all great Chicago bluesmen, including it has Buddy Guy, but it also has on one track it's got Keith Richards and Mick Jagger on it. So that's pretty cool.
Right on.
And then, you know, but
Johnny,
Junior,
wow.
Junior and Buddy were their heroes. You know, they had Junior and Buddy open for them in I think the late 70s, I think it was. And I met Junior when I was just a kid, and I knew all his material because I was playing it in a band when I was 15, 16. I was just starting to drive, and I was already playing his stuff in Philadelphia in bands. And so when I met him when I was just out of college, it was he needed a piano player. It was just like totally a lucky situation.
Pick
for me,
but, pick me.
Yeah. I was like, I'm probably not as good as other people, but I'm like going to be more devoted, and this is going to be more special to me than any gig. You know, because it was like so I moved. That's what moved me to the Midwest. I've been here ever since. But
wonderful.
I moved from New York City. It's hard to move from New York City anywhere.
Right. And you're in Chicago now.
A young person being in New York City is so exciting. At least it was back then. I think it's gotten a little out of hand now. I actually lived in Manhattan and could afford it.
What?
I mean, when I say I could afford it, I mean like I spent almost no money. And everything in New York City you can do pretty cheaply except for your rent, you know.
Right.
You can manage. So if you can swing the rent, you know, you somehow manage to get by on like $95 a week otherwise.
Oh,
you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
We're glad of it. We're glad of all the could have been's, but instead was is that led you to Chicago and led you to Yellow Springs, led you to Yellow Dog that gave us this record that just knocked my socks off way back in 2013, and clearly the culmination of a lot of years of striking keys. Johnny Iguana, I'm a big fan. Looking forward to Friday at the Emporium and Saturday at Spinoza's. Let's hear one from the latest that is Pull Closer to Me live in the piano room, which is hilarious, Johnny, because I thought that that was like some hidden awesome club that I would never be cool enough to go to, but it's in your house. Maybe I can go there one day.
You can. Yeah, I think you will.
Right on. Johnny Iguana, we'll see you Friday and Saturday. Yellow Dog Records for more information on just general goings-on. Also, johnnyiguana.com. What a treat. Thanks so much, Johnny.
Thank you, Nikki.
After all, we're only ordinary men. on the reel.